talking about our home. Talking about me and you. Things we'll do, I said our home.
Talking about our home.
Not talking about a one night stand. I wanna be your man, I said our home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Custom Home and Remodel Show, and Charleston's online home show, newhomecharleston.com. This is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. I'm Michael Blaze with Five Star Real Estate, and this is Talking About a Home.
Good afternoon. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. In addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the three custom home shows we organize, the Charleston Home and Design Show, which takes place every January. Actually, it took place about a month ago at the brand new Gilliard Center in downtown Charleston. The Charleston Home and Design Show on Daniel Island coming up April 30th and May 1st at the brand new Volvo Cars Stadium on Daniel Island. And also the Charleston Home and Design Show Fall Edition, which happens every August. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to be talking with starting things off, we're going to be talking with Heather Epps. She is the social media director with Charleston Home and Design Magazine. Also, Nate Ball with Schneider Tree Care, Bonnie Aula with Fiber Seal of the Lowcountry, Yvonne Gregory with Yvonne Gregory Interiors, and also a special interview with David Rosencrantz with David Rosencrantz Custom Homes. Have a great weekend. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine. And I wanted to take a moment to talk with the social media director with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, Heather Epps. How you doing, Heather?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Tim.
Good. Heather, you're the social media director. What does that mean?
So as a social media director, I'm in charge of, you know, our blog posts, our Facebook page, Instagram, Twitter, Houzz, Pinterest. We have a really large network on the social media side of things, so our audience can take a look and see some of the new projects that we have going on and stay up to date with the magazine further than actually looking in the actual magazine.
Right. And when you say projects that we have going on, it's actually the companies that advertise in Charleston Home and Design Magazine, right?
Right. Yep.
Gotcha. Okay. So how does that benefit our listeners if they wanted to see some of these new projects that the companies in Charleston Home and Design Magazine have going on? How would you recommend they stay connected?
Well, that's exactly it. You want to actually be able to see it. Sometimes you listen to the radio and you hear a wonderful show and you hear about these great projects, but it's nice to be able to go on Facebook or Houzz and actually see them. They have a lot of really high quality photos online that you can kind of walk through the project yourself and see all the great different things that we have going on.
Mm-hmm. So for example, going on Houzz, is there, you know, you go on Houzz, you're going to be seeing projects from all over the country, but how do you see the ones that are specific to Charleston Home and Design Magazine?
Right. So anytime that you go on our Houzz account,
which, and that's Houzz, right?
That's correct. Okay. Yes. Different spelling. Every time you go in there, you can search us out and you can see the local projects we have going on here. We post about our clients in particular. We have a wonderful art director, Patrick Brickman, that takes these amazing photos, and you can actually go on there and find out details about the photos. So if you hear something really interesting about, let's say, a kitchen off the radio show, and you want to actually see it, go on there, take a look. It's going to give you details, such as different types of backsplashes or different types of faucets that you can look at.
And most importantly, who is responsible for doing that work?
Absolutely, because then you're going to want to get in touch with them because they have such great work.
Right.
And we're going to give you a way that you can actually directly contact them.
How about Pinterest?
Pinterest is a great way to form ideas. So a lot of people will go through and scan through Pinterest to kind of get their next project started. But the great thing is we actually tag all of our clients that do all this great work. So if you get overwhelmed with looking through and thinking about doing a do-it-yourself project, you can always find the people that actually created that project and get their help and get started with them.
Good deal. And how about the Charleston Home and Design Magazine blog? What will they read about there?
So you're going to get a lot more details about some of the projects we've done. What I like to do with the blog is extend our photography that you weren't able to see in the magazine. So sometimes you'll get a little bit extra out of that. So you can read through and see the great articles and then see a lot more detail than you would in the magazine.
Right, because in Charleston, in the paper version of Charleston Home and Design magazine, we're limited to a certain number of pages, but digitally we can post a lot of the photographs that didn't quite make it into the magazine, the paper version.
That's right. You're going to get a lot more angles, a lot more details. Definitely recommend checking that out.
And how about Facebook? We're mentioning all these different platforms.
Right. Facebook is a lot of fun because you can go on there and see current happenings. You don't have to wait for the magazine to come out to see what's going on. Every day we do posts up there so you can see the really cool new things that are coming out and be up to date.
Mm-hmm. And Charleston Home and Design Magazine, we redesigned our website this past fall 2015. And what do you think of the new website?
Tim, I love the website. It's stunning. It's beautiful. There's so many great pictures on there. And it's really easy to use. You can use it on your cell phone. You can go use it on your iPad and navigate really easily through it. So definitely check that out. And it has really great links to our clients. You can get more information about them, kind of get more familiar with what exactly they do, and then you can get all of their contact information right off of the website.
And that's one of the biggest things is sometimes people don't know where to turn to to contact a local home professional to get work done in their house. And so they could go to charlestonhomeanddesign.com. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com, and search all of the companies that you would find in Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and all the contact information is right there, their website, and you can go and email them and that kind of thing, right?
That's exactly right.
Good deal. And then Charleston Home and Design Magazine has a new venture that we also launched late fall 2015, and that is called tryaninteriordesigner.com, tryaninteriordesigner.com. And Heather, what's that all about?
So this is a really cool website, too, that kind of piggybacks off of our Charleston Home and Design magazine, but it specifically caters towards interior designers. And it really helps people realize how important interior designers are, what they can do for you, and it helps you get in contact with the local ones that we have in the area. And also it showcases some of the beautiful work they've done, so you can look at that ahead of time and kind of decide which interior designer is going to be perfect for your project.
So you can search by room, right? Because interior designers, they might as they do a house, they'll do the living room, they'll do maybe the kitchen, the bathroom, outdoor space, and so all of those different rooms are categorized that way. And so depending on what your project is that you might have as at home, you can search those different rooms for ideas.
Definitely. It'll definitely help you get more inspired, start off there, and then you can find out exactly who designed those rooms and go from there.
Yeah, and also you can search by the interior designer, and these are all local interior designers. And we have a slogan with tryaninteriordesigner.com, and that is don't go it alone. I'm sure there's a lot of folks out there that I'm talking to right now that have gone it alone and had maybe not the most positive outcome that you're looking for. And if you are looking for the best possible project outcome, don't go it alone. Try an interiordesigner.com, because an interior designer can really help the project and ensure that what you're paying for and the time that you're putting in, that you will be happy with the outcome. Because it is possible that you could spend all that money and time and not be completely happy with the outcome.
That's right.
So that's tryaninteriordesigner.com. And let's give away a t-shirt, one of our home Charleston Home and Design Magazine t-shirts that we have for sale at our different home shows. We'll do a drawing for anybody who goes to the Charleston Home and Design Magazine Facebook page and likes us, and we'll do a drawing on Monday, and of everybody who goes there. And We've done this in the past. We usually get about 10 or 12 people. So it's pretty good odds that you might win a nice T-shirt, and we'll mail it to you. So go to Facebook and just search Charleston Home and Design Magazine.
That's right, yep.
Okay. All right. Well, we have been talking with Heather Epps, Social Media Director with Charleston Home and Design Magazine. Thanks, Heather.
Thanks, Tim.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine. And now we're talking with Nate Ball with Schneider Tree Care. How are you doing, Nate?
I'm doing great, Tim. How are you this morning?
Good, good. Nate, take a moment and tell everybody about Schneider Tree Care.
Schneider Tree Care is a residential and commercial tree care provider based out of Charleston. We have other offices in Greenville and one in Charlotte, and we focus on total tree health care. So that goes from not only the pruning and removal aspect of it, but what's going on under the ground and what's going on with disease and insect and funguses and root space management.
Mm-hmm. Who needs their trees looked after by Schneider Tree Care?
I would say anybody with trees. Uh-huh. Now, we're not a right fit for everyone, but you should have an arborist come out and inspect your trees. If you have old trees on your property, very mature trees like the Grand Live Oaks we have in the Lowcountry, those are great referrals. Those are great people for us to talk to. Even if you have new trees, if you've just built a home and you've newly installed landscape, those are a great time to go ahead and start setting up your landscape and your trees on a program to keep them healthy throughout their life.
Mm-hmm. And, when you're looking to buy a house and you're looking at all the different listings, it's kind of interesting. They, if there's some nice old trees on the property, the real estate agents will always promote that as, mm-hmm. Mature trees. And everybody likes mature trees on their property. But it's possible that they may not be around as long as they should because they're not being taken care of.
Certainly. I mean, curb appeal in mature trees on a property can add value to a home. It's a bit of a wide-ranging number, but about 10 to 20% is what the industry is telling us on a mature landscape. So trees are really, really important. They provide shade. They help with heating costs. And not to mention, they're just beautiful mm-hmm. on a piece of property. But yeah, they do need a lot of care. There are something that as you're purchasing a home or getting ready to build that you need to take a look at and see what's going on with them so that you can set yourself up with a long-term plan of either how are we going to maintain this or do we need to remove one or two that are really just not in good shape or structurally unsound and could be a potential hazard for your home and your family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny. This past week, I was at our old house that we used to live in, and we rent it out now. And I was noticing the house really the paint has faded quite a bit and needs to be painted sometime this year. And I was looking, and I said, it's because this old water oak that we used to have on the property was cut down a few years ago, and that big old water oak used to shade our master bedroom and provided just a nice canopy and it's gone now, and now the sun is just beating down on that side of the house. And so just imagine, I guess I'm talking to my listeners now, just imagine your favorite tree on your property not being there because of some kind of a disease or something. Speaking of which, Nate, are there any kind of telltale signs that homeowners should look for as far as there being a problem with a tree on their property?
A couple great things to look for as you're walking around your property and enjoying your outdoor space is one, is there an excessive amount of deadwood coming out of my tree? And
how do you tell that? Just because there's not green leaves growing out of that branch or something?
Correct. Or if you have limbs falling onto the ground that are an inch and a half in diameter or larger, those are major limbs that are coming out of that tree and can be a sign that there is a problem. Now, trees typically shed dead limbs. Occasionally it happens, but if you have, you're getting one, two, three a week or you're getting several a day, you really need to have that looked at. The other thing that we want to look for on the tree as we're walking around our property is, are there funguses growing on the side of the tree? Are you seeing mushrooms that look like little shelves on the trunk? Are you seeing clusters of mushrooms around the base of the tree? Mm-hmm. Those could be signs that there are some structural issues with the tree, and you should have it looked at by an arborist.
How about like any cavities or you know spots in the tree where maybe rain can collect?
Any of those are great. If you have a large cavity in your tree, or if you've been in the home for a while and you've noticed a cavity getting larger, you want to have that looked at. Not only is that could that inhibit nutrient absorption in the tree and transport within the tree, but it could also mean that the tree is becoming structurally unsound and can fail at that point.
How about this is kind of a surprise, I think, to most people. Your tree doesn't have to be dead for it to have termites, active termites on a tree.
Correct. We are in kind of a little of a belt here in the southeast, and especially along the coast, where Formosan termites are really, really active in our city and our surrounding areas. Formosan termites love live wood. They love live tissue. They don't have to eat decayed wood or dead wood. So they can be in a seemingly perfectly healthy tree on your landscape right now, feeding on that tree, causing it to be structurally unsound, and moving within your property to other trees, other plants. And they can even fly. They don't have to be underground. They can fly from the tree to your home.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, everybody thinks that that you need the termites need the mud tubes to go all the way down to the ground. But it's possible that they got on the tree while they were airborne, and now way up in the tree, there's a termite nest that's happening, and you may not even know you have termites. Does Schneider Tree Care actually get up that far? When you all do an inspection, what kind of equipment do you bring to a person's property?
The inspections that we have when I come out and initially meet someone at their property is my hand tools. So I'm carrying binoculars, I have a diameter tape, I have a sounding hammer. And one of the key things we use when we're looking for Formosan termites is that binocular. We can look up and we can see irregularities in the branch growth. We can see irregularities in the leaf growth. And we can see those telltale signs that Formosan termites are active in the upper part of the canopy. Once we see that, we can start making recommendations on, do we need to get into the tree? Do we need to climb it to inspect a little bit further? Or do we need to start treating this tree? And we can work through all of those as we're standing there with the client.
Mm-hmm. Nate, give our listeners a forecast for 2016 as far as what they should expect for their trees.
Well, Tim, it's not good. We have had some really strange weather patterns, not only the past 6 months, but the past 2 years. We've been very wet. We've been very humid. We've been very, very hot at times. So what that's going to do is a couple things. One, with the wet conditions, we had standing water for long periods of time in and around trees, which caused oxygen deprivation. So we could potentially start to see trees die in mass numbers.
This was when the flood took place this past October?
When the flood took place, and then we still continue to be very wet. The soil is absolutely saturated. There's not a lot of available oxygen for the trees.
Mm-hmm.
The other big issue we're seeing is salt influx into the soils. When we had those floods, salt marshes, creeks, tidal areas started to have salt water backfill into where we should have fresh water. Excessive salt in the soil actually creates a barrier where tree roots cannot absorb the nutrients that they need out of the soil, so they start to go and decline. Another issue that we're going to see is with the warm weather and the wet, multi-generational hatches of insects we typically only see one time a year.
Mm-hmm.
So that means through the summer, we're going to see some insects that are generally very easy to control. They pop up, we treat them, they're gone. They're going to be residual throughout the summer and fall. The other big one is we're already seeing a lot of Formosan termite activity. It warmed up really, really quick. There's a lot of moisture in and around the Lowcountry. They are already moving around.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a tree yesterday and was absolutely covered in Formosan termites by the time I got out of it.
Wow. Wow. How far up the tree?
I was only about 10 feet up in the tree.
10 feet up, yeah. Yeah, you know, I've driven through Wagner Terrace and downtown Charleston before, and remember one day seeing a huge tree branch in the middle of the road, and I got out to help somebody move it out of the road, and right at the joint where the tree limb had fallen, just covered in those Formosan termites that you're talking about.
They can be in there right now, and the tree looks seemingly healthy, and then a failure happens.
What about anyone who might be looking to do some remodeling around the house, or maybe adding a deck or porch, maybe adding a patio? How does that possibly affect the tree roots?
Anytime we start to add on to our homes or decks or patios, and we're moving into an area that was once a planting bed or it was a turf area, we're going to be impacting the root zone. Tree roots can be, typically a rule of thumb is 2 times the diameter of the canopy is what the roots look like underground. And they're usually only found within the first 8 to 10 inches of the soil. Mm-hmm. So as we start to dig footers, or we start to compact soil for foundations, or we start to drill holes for piers, we're going to be eating into that root mass of that tree and its effectiveness to absorb water and nutrients out of the soil, but also stay structurally sound. That root mat that we affect when we do any of that construction is actually holding the tree up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and tree roots get a bad rap because sometimes if you have like a concrete or an asphalt driveway, a tree root might cause that driveway to crack, and you might see a bulge or something, and so the homeowner instantly says, "Oh, we got to get rid of that tree root," you know, and so if you're putting in a driveway or something like that, you know, the contractor may not know that much about trees, and they might say, "Well, you want to take out these roots, you know, to avoid the driveway cracking or something," and that's probably not very good advice.
In some cases, yes, but generally, no. Anytime we remove that support structure for the tree, not only stabilization but nutrient absorbing, we're going to be doing harm to it. And trees are typically the tallest things on our property, and kind of the silent, I don't want to say killer, but danger that we have on our property. If that fails, we're going to be hurting in a very bad way. So typically when we find those roots diving to the surface, it's a function of the soils being way too compacted. The roots are trying to grow in the easiest possible way that they can. And if the soil is really, really compacted, if it's very dense, they're going to go to the surface so they can grow and they can support that tree. So we actually offer a system where we can decompact the soils prior to, after construction, and during the life of the landscape. We can go in and open up the soil space for tree roots to grow more easily and reduce the likelihood of those roots diving to the surface and eating into your lawn space or destroying your driveway or patio.
Well, how can folks get more information about Schneider Tree Care?
If you're interested in setting up a consultation with one of our arborists, you can give us a call at 843-300-5200. Or if you want a little bit more information on us, you can look on the web at schneidertree.com.
And the consultation, is that free, or does that cost anything?
That is a free consultation.
I gotcha. Good deal. Okay, so you can call Schneider Tree Care, come on out, show them what concerns you have, and then they will give you a no obligation plan for whatever you whatever work needs to be done.
That's exactly right.
All right, great. Well, we have been talking with Nate Ball with Schneider Tree Care. Thanks so much, Nate.
Thank you, Tim.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine. And now we're talking with Bonnie Aula with Fiber Seal of the Lowcountry. How are you doing, Bonnie?
I'm fine, thanks, Tim. How are you?
Good. Bonnie, take a moment and tell everybody about Fiber Seal of the Lowcountry.
Well, probably the Cliff Notes version of what we are is that we're not Scotchgard on steroids. I'll back up a little bit. We're a fabric protection and care company. So when our clients ask us to come into their homes and protect their rugs or furniture or draperies, what we're doing for them is providing the initial protection that provides a barrier on the pieces so that when they have a spill or a stain or some soiling that it's much more... it's much easier to remove, but we're basically taking over the primary care of their furnishings. We can save a lot of furniture from disasters like pet stains and red wine and pizza face down on the white sofa when the company comes, and that sort of thing.
Interior designers are big, big believers in fiber seal of the low country. Talk about that a little bit.
That's true. Other than our existing clients, probably our best source of referrals is from interior designers because they like that broad range of fabrics that they can specify for their clients without worrying about how it's going to hold up to actual living.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can reassure their clients that we're going to take care of it and that they don't have some delicate silk in the family room that they're going to have to tiptoe around. So they like the freedom of being able to be more imaginative in the installations that they do.
Yeah, the interior designers, the homeowners that hire them, they put a lot of trust in the interior designers, and so the interior designers want to make sure that those homeowners are happy, not just at the end of the project, but for years to come. And they trust the interior designer's recommendations for different furnishings and so forth. And if the furnishings don't hold up over time, then it doesn't reflect well on the interior designer. So they want everything that they're all the furnishings and so forth that they're recommending to last, right?
True. I'll tell you a quick story. When I first started, I did one of my first and only cold calls to an interior designer who had a shop. And I got about one sentence into what we did, and she said, stop. She said, you got me. She said, I have a client to whom I sold a sofa, and every couple of weeks she comes carrying in a cushion saying, look what happened. You told me I could use this in my family room. And she said, if you're going to take that headache away and make my client happy, she said, I'm there.
That's great. That's great. Now, I'll bet we have some listeners out there that are thinking, yeah, but okay, I get fiber seal, but it's not going to be comfortable to lay on that sofa or to sit on that upholstered chair. It's probably going to be stiff and crunchy. And is that the case?
It's not. The nice thing about this is it's a very fine spray. There's no water in it. It goes on invisible. It stays invisible. And it never affects what designers call the hand or the feel of the fabric. We've done everything from young couples with their first sofa from Rooms to Go to a $23,000 sectional and have never had anybody concerned, you know, after we reassured them, concerned about changing the hand or the look of the piece.
Is it safe for pets and kids?
Well, the quick answer to that is it's approved in California.
Uh-huh.
as many people know, that's kind of the linchpin for safety and environmental issues. Yes, we do suggest that if someone is highly asthmatic or allergic that they stay out of the room just while we're treating the piece. But it dries quickly in 2 or 3 hours, and it's non-carcinogenic. And even if a pet comes in after the piece is dry and for some reason licks the skirt of the sofa, it's not going to harm the pet.
Mm-hmm. What happens when a spill does occur on some fabric that Fiber Seal of the Low Country has treated?
We have kind of a two-step process based on the convenience of the client. When we first treat the furniture, we give the client a kit with a booklet that has about 30 or 40 different spills listed, everything from beer to Play-Doh. And it will say, if your client spills chocolate, or it will say to the client, if you spill chocolate, use products 4 and 5 after you've blotted up whatever can be blotted. Because remember, this causes liquids to sit on the surface rather than soaking down into the weave. If the client is afraid to do anything, or if that doesn't produce the exact results that she wants, she can call us, or he, as many times as she needs to, and there's no charge for service calls. And we can send one of our techs out with a wide range of commercial-grade products that we know will work on a variety of fabrics.
Mm, okay, good deal. And do furnishings need to be retreated after a certain number of years, or how does that work?
We tell the clients initially a year, but to be honest with you, I've rarely had any situation, except maybe those two white sofas in the playroom, any situation where we had to retreat after just a year.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason we do retreat is if the product has worn off. just body friction moving back and forth. Mm-hmm. And that's true no matter what is applied to a fabric, whether it's at the factory or in the home aftermarket, what we call aftermarket. But most clients can get 1 to 2 years. And what we suggest is if you're not getting spills up really readily, or if you're not getting the results that you expect, then if you just pour water on it and the water doesn't bead, then it's probably starting to soak in and wear down, and it's time to retreat.
We've got a sofa in our living room that has a slip cover, and I don't know, maybe once a quarter or so we'll take that slip cover off and wash it. How would washing that slip cover affect the fiber seal?
We treat a lot of slip covers for a couple of reasons. One, clients don't like the hassle of struggling to get them on and off. And two, normally it's not all of them that need to be washed at once. Mm-hmm. It's one that maybe dad sits at when he watches the game. Not to be sexist. Mm-hmm. But what happens is that one piece that gets washed tends to what we call ugly out before the rest of it. So we treat the slip covers. If the client maintains it by just wiping down the piece with one of our products that's in the kit every couple of months, she'll find that dirt sits on the surface and transfers to the cloth. And so it's very unusual for the slip cover to have to be washed very much. Mm-hmm. But if it is during the time that we're servicing, the 1 to 2 years, then we will retreat if it needs to be retreated.
Hmm. That's good. That's good. What about... Does Fiber Seal protect against UV rays?
We have read a lot about products that do protect against fading, and the response that I give clients, quite honestly, is that the Fiber Seal parent company hired an independent lab to do testing on a variety of products that claim to be fade-proof, to cause fabrics to be fade-proof. And what they found is that there's only a 2 to 3% difference in the treated and untreated fabric. So, sadly, there is nothing out there that's foolproof yet to protect against fading.
Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about is the sun shining through your windows at home can cause fading of upholstered furnishings and that kind of thing, right?
True, yeah. The sun is still stronger than we are.
Right. In general, what does it cost to have Fiber Seal of the Low Country come out and do an average treatment?
A lot of times it's less than what the client paid in sales tax for the piece. Ah. So that's a good starting point. But generally, a standard 3-seat sofa for the initial treatment and the product kit, refills if the client needs it, and the unlimited service calls, that runs about $235 to $245. Hmm. A club chair, about $85. Dining chairs, if it's just the seat, $35 to $40. Almost never, I would say never more than $50 to $55 for a dining chair.
Okay.
And what I've heard from a lot of clients is that if it saves that one piece of furniture and you don't have to not only try to find out if that fabric's been discontinued, but recover the piece because you had a spill that wouldn't come out, a stain, sometimes you have to recover several pieces because you can't get the exact match. Mm-hmm. So it's not just insurance. It's a hard-working service against everyday living with your furnishings as opposed to just looking at them from the family room into the living room.
Mm-hmm. How can folks get more information about Fiber Seal of the Low Country?
Several ways. We have there's a national website called fiberseal.com that'll give general information, and there's a tab called locations, and you can find us that way. You can call our office at 843-345-9966, or you can email me directly, Bonnie, B-O-N-N-I-E, at fiberseal.com.
All right, great. Well, we have been talking with Bonnie Aula with Fiber Seal of the Low Country. Thanks so much, Bonnie. If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine. And now we're talking with interior designer Yvonne Gregory with Yvonne Gregory Interiors. How are you doing, Yvonne?
I am great, thanks. How are you, Tim?
Doing well, thank you. Yvonne, take a moment and tell everybody about Yvonne Gregory Interiors.
Well, primarily I do residential work. I started in Los Angeles quite a long time ago and moved out here in 1988 and absolutely love the Low Country. So this area is more traditional than LA or New York, but there are a lot of outer towners that are coming in that are kind of mixing it up, so it's getting a little more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I've done also some commercial, some bed and breakfast downtown, and some courtyards, and just some, I did a radio station, five radios
mm-hmm.
one time. That was a lot of fun because I could really mix that up.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly just working with individual people on their either brand new homes or something that they've been in for 30 years to try and help them mix it up and get it a little bit more fresh.
You know, anybody who has ever used an interior designer on a project, whether it be home or commercial, the next time they have a project, there's no question they always use an interior designer. Why is that? Why? It's almost like the people who have hired an interior designer at least once know they understand the value, and those that maybe have not ever tried an interior designer may not even know what they're missing.
Well, it's true. There is a myth out there that interior designers are extraordinarily expensive. However, my job really is to help save you money.
Mm-hmm.
And I can look at plans even as they're just being drawn, and I can point out possible pitfalls or floor plan flaws or, you know, what works for you, because we need to custom design something for the way you live. Not anybody else, not the architect, not the builder, but you. So
you're not going to try to push your style
no,
on someone.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So if I can help save something like, oh, well, now we have to move a wall that's already up, you know, there's a huge significant savings in that. Or instead of painting the whole house a different color and then finding out they don't really like that color on the walls. So then what do? You have to repaint again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and when that moment happens, when the homeowner realizes that the work is going to have to get redone and they're going to have to pay the contractor again a second time to do that, to do the redo, it goes through everybody's mind, oh, why can't this be like a computer where you can just cut and paste, you know? It's not as easy as that
life. It's not as easy as that in real life. Yeah, people seem to think that being a designer is very easy, but there's a lot and a lot of education and a lot of experience to really be able to hone in on the personality and the lifestyle of the people that you're working for.
Mm-hmm. You know, Yvonne, and we're very, very proud to have you, your company, Yvonne Gregory Interiors, involved with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and your firm is on our new website called tryaninteriordesigner.com, and we're really encouraging folks to try an interior designer when they've got a new building or a remodeling project or just a small makeover, whatever you have going on, simple as picking paint colors. And the message that we're trying to promote is don't go it alone. And there's so many people out there who do. They're taking free advice. They go to the tile showroom and they get some free advice, and then they go to the lighting showroom and they get some other free advice. But those showrooms oftentimes are the people in those showrooms are experts at the lighting or the tile, and it's the interior designer that can see a bird's eye view of the project and really pull it all together, right?
Yeah, that's true. And with the explosion of all the TV shows that you see, you know, oh, you can do this yourself, you can do that yourself, and you really can't. I mean, yes, some people can, but for the general public, if you start on a project and then you realize that you really can't accomplish that plumbing yourself, it's better to hire a plumber.
Mm-hmm.
To do it than to try and do it yourself. Plus, it's cheaper than a marriage counselor.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly right. And you have to be a marriage counselor at times,
yes,
don't you?
You have to be a mom.
Because the husband wants one thing and the wife wants another.
Yeah, a lot of times. But if you really work with them, usually you can get them, quote-unquote, married into a wonderful environment that they both enjoy.
Yeah, as long as she gets what she wants,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. That's the way it works.
You know, my mother remodeled her bathroom recently, and all she wanted was these light sconces on either side of her bathroom. And when she did not use an interior designer, and when it got time to you know, to pick that, pick those light sconces, the contractor said, "Oh no, you can't have what you want. We don't have room for that." Or I don't even know what right. the reason was. But if she, I told her, I said, "Mom, if you had hired an interior designer, that you could have solved that problem from the start,
yeah.
and rather than waiting until it was too late."
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. Yeah,
and you know, I guess everybody does watch all the makeover TV shows and HGTV yeah. and so forth, and there, I think there's this assumption, they just assume that if I'm willing to spend the money on a project and I'm willing to devote the time to do it, then the outcome is going to be exactly what I want. And it's possible, if you're not using an interior designer that and you're doing it yourself, it's possible that you might not be completely happy with the outcome after the project is finished and after all that money and time has been spent.
Well, that's true. And another thing that people don't really realize is they come in and they do these makeovers in 2 or 3 days. But they have a huge team mm-hmm. that has done all the work beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've got a stable of people that are specialists in their specific field. And so, therefore, yeah, if you have everything decided on, everything purchased, everything ordered, just sitting there waiting for you to do, then it's possible for professionals to do it. But for the general public, that's almost impossible.
Yeah, and I guess I can't push that message enough that, you know, if you really want the outcome of your project to be guaranteed, if you want it to be what you really are hoping for, there's a risk that it's not going to happen that way if you don't have some help from an interior designer.
Yeah, and sometimes it's even tough for us. And sometimes we have to tweak things as we go. I mean, it's not every job isn't perfect, but I'm not happy until my clients are thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what my job is to make them happy.
You know, if somebody is maybe building a house or has a big, big remodel project, you know, I've always kind of equated having that interior designer on your side as having like a best friend that you could... that you could call 7 times in a row within 5 minutes for this little question or that little question. You don't have a best friend for in real life that you could do that with.
No. Yeah, and it's invaluable to start off in the beginning with the architects. It really helps a lot because then you can solve the problems before they arise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How early in the process should a homeowner talk to an interior designer?
I think when they're still working on the drawings, the architectural drawings, the blueprints for the plan, that's a good time to get in at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. What if a homeowner doesn't have architectural drawings? They're looking at doing some remodeling or some kind of a project in their house, but they don't feel like it's to the point where they need to hire an architect. Can they still call an interior designer like Yvonne Gregory Interiors and have a consultation and find out what would be involved with the project and so forth?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. It's from soup to nuts. My job is from the very first plan to hanging the last piece of art on the wall.
And it sounds simple, but picking paint colors can be a very, very difficult process, and homeowners can really struggle over that. And you know, making sure that the colors flow from one room to another and so forth, is that something that you would be able to help an interior?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, that's definitely something I can do.
Well, tell everyone how they can get more information about Yvonne Gregory Interiors.
Well, the best way is to just give me a call, and my phone number is 843-708-3535, and my website is Yvonne, or my email is Yvonne@YvonneGregoryInteriors.com.
And that's Y-V-O-N-N-E.
Yes, it is.
Yvonne Gregory Interiors. All right. Well, great. Well, we have been talking with Yvonne Gregory with Yvonne Gregory Interiors, and you can also see her work on tryaninteriordesigner.com. That's tryaninteriordesigner.com. Thanks, Yvonne.
Thank you, Tim.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine. And now we're talking with custom builder David Rosenkrantz with David Rosenkrantz Custom Homes. How you doing, David?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
Sure. David, take a moment and tell everybody about David Rosenkrantz Custom Homes.
Well, we're a company that's been in business almost 14 years now. We started in Nashville, Tennessee, which we're still currently there, but we expanded to the Charleston market.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been in Charleston physically about 2 years. We've finished a couple of projects. We've finished a new construction on Daniel Island, a remodel on West Ashley. We've got a current remodel off Long Point Road, and we've got another lot on Daniel Island.
Mm-hmm.
And we're a custom home building company that does everything from new construction, remodels, and additions.
Mm.
We focus on the quality of construction over cost. We work intimately with construction lawyers and a man by the name of Harrison McCampbell, who is a leader in fixing the wrongs, you can say, is all sorts of information in order to build properly.
Mm-hmm.
We always say that if you build a home according to codes, you've built a poor home, because codes is directly responsible for life safety. Building a home is for the, 100 years of livability for a family and memories and friends to enjoy.
What made David Rosenkrantz Custom Homes decide to expand into the Charleston area from Nashville?
Well, originally I'm from California, and I've traveled all over the world, so I have a global experience. That's a benefit in the fact that I have a global experience, and that experience has taken me to learn about a lot of different types of materials. My sister's married to one of the largest builders in California and Hawaii, and he and I were going to come together and do something multi-state. It didn't ever come to fruition, but it started my mind thinking that that would really meet my challenge. That would really meet something inside of me of why I build. I'd like to have the building industry get a better reputation. I'd like to play a small part in that with the clients that I meet. The challenge of doing it in multi-states is a challenge for me, and it's a fun challenge. It keeps it exciting for me. The two markets are very similar. Some of the products, obviously, are a little more usable in one area or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gets to expand my influence. I get to meet a lot of great subcontractors, a lot of great architects in both locations. The architects here in Charleston and the subcontractors in Charleston are just a great bunch of people. I've really been fortunate to run across people that seem to care about what they do and take that seriously.
You seem like the type of person that doesn't get rattled. When you're building a house, there's always stress, right?
Absolutely. Every job.
How do you handle that when the homeowner is freaking out, when the husband and wife are fighting over this or that, and you don't seem like the type that is going to get rattled?
Yeah, well, I'm fairly calm, and in my world, when I'm working in my world, then I'm firing on all cylinders. I'm comfortable in my environment. I'm knowledgeable about my what I build, and my purpose is to educate clients. So all of those things help me kind of maintain a level head. You're right. I'm there when the kids just wake up and the parents are still in their pajamas before they've had their coffee. I'm there when they're fighting. I'm there at the dinner table still at 7 o'clock at night. So I act as a counselor at times. But the biggest way that I keep them from overstressing is constant communication. We set their expectations realistically on the front end from the very first time we meet when we're doing budgets and estimates, and then just constant communication through the process of what they can expect, how the process will change, what they can personally possibly experience. As you know, when you take a home during the framing stage and you can see through the whole house, I've had some clients that as soon as you put sheetrock up, be amazed that they didn't think the rooms would look like they looked, or they wouldn't be as big, or they weren't what they thought they should be. And so that experience has kind of led me to lean on telling people, listen, when you can see through the whole house, your mindset might change a little bit once we put sheetrock on. So start thinking about those things. So if we need to adjust, now is the time to do it. It saves money to do it now. You have to peel sheetrock off. You're digging into insulation, moving wires, moving plumbing, moving gas lines. And those increases and that backward steps can really throw people over the top.
Sure. When you're talking with homeowners and they might be talking to other custom builders, what do you tell them about what makes David Rosencrantz Custom Homes unique or different from other builders?
Well, that starts off when we do our estimates. It takes me a long time to do an estimate because I'm very thorough. I still do it pen and paper. It helps my mind chronologically think of everything based on my experience of what a new construction, remodel, or an addition are going to involve. So therefore, the very beginning process is it's lengthy. And so when we get to the sitting down at the table and going over the budget, what I stress to them is I know you're getting other bids. People generally get 2 to 4 bids. I mean, 4 is a little excessive, but 2 or 3 is usually reasonable. We're transparent. You know, all my numbers are on the table. Can you say the same thing about the other guys? Are they willing to meet once we sit down and you see my budget and you see my total versus you see their total? And if there's a big discrepancy, you know, who's to say the lower guy is the standard? You know, the lower guy could be getting your job. I don't ever budget to get your job, and I tell homeowners that. I'm not here to get your job based on my budget. I'm here to establish a relationship. It's an intimate process. It can be a long process sometimes. If it's a big build, it can be 12 to 18 months. It can be longer than that if the project's even bigger. And so you're going to be around one another for a very long time. And I'm always willing to open up my mind, open up my books, and say, look, let's sit down and compare apples to apples. Because you never really do compare apples to apples when you're getting other bids, because you don't know how that guy's thinking. You don't know what his approach is, what his labor force is, what his hourlies are, what material did he spec, what process. So we find ourselves being in a unique situation that seems to work for us. When I've told people that, when our budgets have been different and people have selected other people for price, they've always regretted it. There have been a handful of times that I've been able to get in the back door and get some behind-the-scenes information where those are the comments coming back. Oh, yeah, David, you were right. You included this. They didn't include that.
Right.
You told us this. We could expect this. We were just thinking cost at that point and just trying to hear what we wanted to hear. And so we work a lot off of the feedback, off of client feedback, subcontractor feedback, architect feedback. We listen. We're not afraid to go toe-to-toe with any other builder or any other information, because there is a right way to build.
Yeah, I've heard a complaint before from builders that, that low bid that you might get, you really have to take a look at the allowances very carefully, because let's say you hire that builder that has the lower bid, when it comes time to picking lighting and you start walking through the lighting showroom and you're looking at all these beautiful light fixtures and you say, okay, I really like this one for the living room. Well, that one fixture might cost what you have for an allowance. And the cheaper builder put in a very, very unrealistic allowance for lighting, and now all of a sudden, as the homeowner, you're having to come out of pocket, and you're remembering what David said with David Rosencrantz Custom Homes.
Well, yeah, that's a great point. And where we thrive, one of the biggest areas that we thrive is in that area. My wife, Jennifer, who handles all the product selections, client services, she holds your hand through the whole product selection. She's making all the appointments. She's picking you up in our car, taking you to the appointments, making sure you're staying on budget. We don't just let you loose with a big number and you go figure it out on your own. Every item in your home has a number to it, and that is to the thankfulness of Jennifer and her diligence and her hard work. Because what that does is that starts her off with a baseline. And when you go and make that selection, you know, then you know whether you're at budget, under budget, over budget. But we give realistic budgets based on all that communication that we have on the front end. And if there's very little conversation, we're a high-end custom builder. So we're leaning heavy anyway. And that's why I said this process, you select it based on the entire relationship. My budgets might be high for you on paper, but you're only going to pay for what you order anyway. It's not like, oh, well, I said the lamp you were going to pick was $3,000 and you picked a $500 one, so it's still going to cost you $3,000. No, it's going to cost you $500. And that due diligence is all done on the front end with Jennifer And they have a lot of fun. We take them to lunch, and we make a day of it, or if it takes 2 or 3 days to do it, or if it takes a week to do it, depending on the size of the project, Jennifer is right there to hold their hand, and everybody has responded with a great applause that is just, it makes the process less stressful. It makes it easy. All they have to do is do the fun stuff, mm-hmm. pick the product, and Jennifer handles the rest.
Right. Yeah, and I'm sure every builder out there gets the question, the inevitable question, what kind of cost per square foot should I expect? And that's such a difficult thing to answer, right?
That is a very difficult answer. And prices just keep going up. You know, when I started my own company 13, 14 years ago, we were at a lower price per square foot. And now, after doing 150 some odd projects and 14 years later, we're at a much different price per square foot, not only just for materials, but just the cost of construction. Mm-hmm. So, you know, trying to answer what exactly a square foot is really dependent upon the level of finish, the quality of materials that you want to do. On the construction side, there's a lot more concrete answers. You know, a footing is going to cost what a footing is, block, brick, siding, you know, framing, a roof material, whether it's a shingle or a metal. But, I mean, there's a million choices in products.
Right.
I mean, you could pick, you know, Carrara marble or, you know, all the way down to a remnant or an ubatuba. Mm-hmm. Very different price points. Same product, same function, but in two different worlds.
Right. And a lot of times when a homeowner is building that dream home, they've got that mile-long wish list, and anything that, you know, they've seen over the years that appeals to them, they want to get in there, and it can really throw off a cost per square foot.
Oh, yeah,
so you have an elevator, that's gonna boost your cost per square foot.
Especially if it's added after the fact.
Right.
You know? Let's just go ahead and add an elevator. Okay, well, that's another, you know, 30 grand.
Right.
You know, that changes the budget.
Right, right. So, does David Rosencrantz Custom Homes, do you work on a cost plus basis, or what's the typical format?
Well, typically we do a fixed fee. That seems to generally work better with the clients that I've had. We give them the option. We have the same contract that has two different words in it. It's a cost plus contract versus a fixed fee contract. There are very few clients that I've run into in the last 14 years that want to go cost plus anymore. A lot of them really like the fixed fee because they can pick the $10,000 tub or the $1,500 tub. I have to install it just the same, mm-hmm. but the product can be very different. And that eliminates a lot of stress as well, because a lot of feedback that we've heard on the cost plus side is they're always calculating. Oh, if I pick this, then I've got to pay an extra this, and then that means this cost me actually that. And I mean, it's just unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we try to streamline everything from A to Z, and I believe that, you know, if I'm gonna do your job, I can do it for a fixed price. You know, it's gonna be stressful, there's gonna be changes, there's gonna be add-ons, there's gonna be things we run into that we didn't expect. That's part of my job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what you're hiring me for,
right?
To handle all of that stuff. You know, the neurologist doesn't get inside your brain, say, oh, I didn't realize you had this, that's gonna be an extra, you know, so-and-so, well, you can't answer him, so he's got to do it. You wake up thinking it's going to cost one thing, and it's another. We don't like those kinds of surprises, and we avoid those surprises for the most part by the way we do our budgets, mm-hmm. and setting those expectations on the front end so that we can, based on our experience, and that's what somebody would hire you for, is your experience and the quality that you do, factor those into your numbers so that you're staying at budget. Rarely do you come down on budget with a custom project because, like you said, homeowners have this huge wish list. But I have found that when homeowners go up in price and it's been clearly documented and clearly communicated, they're okay with it. They like it.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. How can folks learn more about David Rosencrantz Custom Homes?
Well, we've redesigned our webpage, so you can go to www.rosencrantzcustomhomes.com. You can look at us on Houzz.com. Look under, you know, general contractors. We're there. All of our contact information in both cities, Charleston and Nashville. I can be reached 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even though my wife doesn't like that. you know, we those are great areas to find me.
Great. Well, on behalf of Charleston Home and Design Magazine, welcome to Charleston. And David, it's been great talking with you. And if you want more information, contact David Rosenkrantz with David Rosenkrantz Custom Homes. Thanks so much, David.
Thank you. I'm talking about a home. Talking about me and you. The things we'll do. I said a home.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. Talking About a Home is brought to you by the publishers of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and the organizers of the Charleston Home and Design Show and the Custom Home and Remodel Show. To make contact with any of the companies featured today, visit newhomecharleston.com, Charleston's online home show, and home to over 200 local home-related companies motivated to work with you.